Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I'd like to make a quick comment, and then I have a question for the chair. And my comments are actually quite parochial. Before I had the privilege of serving as a senator, I was board president of my local legal aid organization, and so I am very, very proud of my district, my judicial district, and I think we do a great job. And so this feels like an attack on my judiciary, and the reason I say that is because if you look at the statistics, the population statistics that were distributed both with the 717 plan and with the Senate plan, there are three other districts that are not broken up, but my district gets broken up into two or three sub districts for election purposes, and I can see no justification for that other than Buncombe County has a reputation for electing the wrong kinds of people, and that to me takes our judiciary in a political direction that is bad for the people of our state. I would also say that we do have a problem in Buncombe County, but our problem is not with our judges. Our problem is that we don't have enough of them. I can't talk to all of the court load, but I do serve on the board of the Buncombe County Health and Human Services. And what I know is that the workload of child welfare cases increased 45% from 2016 to 2017. And because of that, the number of continuances has increased also, which means children are not having the opportunity to be reunited with their parents or with permanent placements in a way that we all think is important. I was very, very proud to support the Family Child Protection and Accountability Act. But Health and Human Services is only part of that equation. Our courts also serve a very important function there. And Buncombe County is underserved, critically underserved in that area. So, just to wrap up, we do have some problems, but nothing that has been discussed so far has addressed our problems. Yet, we're being punished for the kinds of judges that we elect, judges that we are very proud of. And then I do have some questions. They're all around the solicitation of public comments. And Mr. Chair was wondering, what is the status? When have we received public comments? Are we still receiving public comments? When will the period for public comments be closed? How can I get access to those public comments? And will they be shared with the public and the press?
I think I have to ask staff that question, how the website is set up and how the members might access those.
Jessica Sammons with Legislative Analysis. On the committee website, there is a spot on there where the public can submit public comments, and that is still up at this time.
And is there a way for the members to electronically access those comments?
Mr. Chair, we did not have anything to do with that being set up, so to my knowledge, no. That would be up to the chairs or the committee's direction as to how to make that happen, and we could work with ISD to make it happen in whatever way you would like for that to happen.
Senator Van Dyne, what suggestion would you have in regard to that information?
I would just like to know a date when I can, a date and an instruction for when and how I can access public comments.
Does staff have an idea of how long it would take to compile that information?
depending on how you want it made available, when the legislature was dealing with the House and Senate, the committee of that chose to make them only available to members, and they were accessible to members electronically through the General Assembly network login. If we want to do that, I think that we could probably have that done by tomorrow. If you want it in some other way, then it would just depend on what method you wanted to use.
Just quick follow-up. I just think it would be important to make those comments available to the public. I think if we're going to solicit public comment, the public has a right to know if those comments were heard.
Why don't we, without objection, and committee members, you can chime in if you want to. So why don't we have staff try to make that available to the members, all the members of the Senate, and I don't know how that will look in terms of the format, but certainly then the members could share that with their constituencies if they want to. I know there. I saw an initial summary of some of the comments that had been compiled within a couple days of the website being opened up, but over the holidays I haven't kind of tracked that. Of the volume, so I don't know how many comments have been made.
And I definitely want to be respectful of staff's time. I just want to know tomorrow exceeds my expectations.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rabin.
Thank you. And in the interest of public comment, Senator Van Dunn, I would ask you as well, because we're here today to hear from anyone in this committee and basically anything that you'd like to discuss. You requested or in your letter to hear from several different people or groups, and how many of those people have you actually spoken with about appearing here? Have you contacted any of them and asked them, the ones that you mentioned that you would like to have come before us, if you contacted or spoken with any of them about appearing?
Senator Rabin, I have spoken with several of my judges, and what they asked me to share with you, and you had also asked for alternatives in terms of the districts, and what they asked me to share with you is that you leave Buncombe County alone and leave our district whole.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, one thing I was struck by, Senator Van Dyne, was you began your comments by saying this is probably parochialism, and then you spoke about Buncombe County, and it just came on the heels of what Senator McKissick said when I asked about Mecklenburg, and he said, well, among the things he said was you can't just fix Mecklenburg, you got to be concerned about how things apply across the state. So what you've characterized as a politicized attack on Buncombe County by subdividing it into three subdistricts is rather the demonstration districts that we've released for discussion only, as I emphasized that when we released them, and to solicit or elicit alternative proposals. But it took a uniform approach to the urban counties across the state because most of them have been subdivided at the Superior Court level for decades. And so the question becomes, other than a parochial concern, what reason would you do that in some urban districts but not in others? You can see the reason to do it is to make them manageable for the point of campaigning for office in an election that is by its nature. I mean, one of the challenges we're looking at and one of the reasons that motivates examining the possibility of alternative selection methods is it's a low-profile election. And so you have people in urban areas that have to run with a million, you know, potential voters there. So the sub-districts allow more manageable election tasks, and to do it in one urban county and not in another may be parochialism. Maybe parochialism should win. And certainly we don't all agree with each other whether we're wearing a D or an R. So you and Senator McKissick have articulated something in which we all disagree. On our side, we disagree about things as well. But again, I don't see how you make a path forward and accomplish a result that makes good sense unless you actually engage in the dialogue and don't impute to the motives of whenever someone draws a map and puts it out there that it must be for purposes of punishment. Because I can assure you that's the farthest thing from the case. It is merely following a pattern in all the urban districts, all the urban counties, that has been followed in most of the urban counties for decades and decades.
Follow up. Mr. Chair, can I respond to that?
Certainly.
Senator Bishop, I unfortunately do not have statistics based on the Senate's proposal because we have not received the kinds of statistics that I'm talking about. But when I looked at the statistics that were distributed with House Bill 717, there were three districts that had similar or greater population than Buncombe County. I don't know what you mean by urban county, but usually I think that's kind of population. And so I looked at three other districts with similar or greater populations to Buncombe County. They, in fact, had more judges. Where Buncombe County has seven district court judges, District 4 has 9, District 35 has 10, and District 11 has 12. Now, also looking at the information that was distributed with HB 717, I looked at the percentage of voting Republican for those four districts. For Buncombe County, it was 47%. For District 4, it was 60%. For District 11, it was 62%. And for District 35, it was 65%. So when I look at the information that I was given with the HB 717 packet, and I say, okay, Buncombe County gets split into two districts. It's not because we have more judges, because we have fewer judges. What we do have is fewer Republican voters. So I draw my conclusions not from some bias that I assume that you have, but by the statistics that were distributed with with Representative Burr's packet. I look forward to seeing the statistics for the Senate maps. There are still, they are different districts, but District number 9, District number 11, and District number 24 all have more people than Buncombe County, yet they are kept whole. I can't tell you how many judges in those districts because that was not distributed to me, and I haven't had time to look it up, and I apologize for that. But my conclusions are not based on conjecture. They're based on the statistics that were distributed.
Follow up then, Mr. Chairman.
Follow up.
I was struggling to try to pull up maps to see what you were saying as you were saying it, Senator Van Dyne. But I think what it points up is probably the utility of you're having a conversation with another member, with one of the chairs or with one of the members and advance that as a I mean, obviously, you say that this is based on 717. Well, we obviously thought 717 need not be the final word. That's the reason we have demonstration maps out that change things that 717 did on a consistent basis. We've invited other ideas, and that would be a good one to suggest. Now, were you talking Superior Court or District Court?
District Court.
Well, I was looking at the Superior Court map trying to follow your the different districts you were referring to. So what I found as I was moving that quickly doesn't help our conversation. But I think it is until there's been enough engagement to actually exchange ideas on that. It's hard kind of to know where to go, but thanks for the opportunity to address it with you.
Thank you. And Senator Daniel, just a quick follow-up. I think that's what we're all saying, is that we are rushing to do this and not looking at the ramifications on our courts, which is really so much more significant to the people of North Carolina than the ramifications of just the next judicial election.